Good morning. This is Abby with your Daily Berlin Briefing for Tuesday, May 21st, 2019. As we mentioned yesterday, Berlin Briefing turns 2 years old this week. With this in mind, we invite any listeners who would like to pop by Pratergarten in Prenzlauer Berg this coming Sunday to say hi and have a drink in the sunshine. Sadly, we can't afford to buy everyone drinks, but we will have Berlin Briefing stickers to give away, a door prize, and open ears for anyone who has suggestions on how we can improve our daily reporting. More details are to follow later this week. Now, on to the news. Following up on the report of shots being fired at Cottbusser Damm on Sunday, officially, police reported that the background of the crime was still completely unclear. According to the Berliner Morgenpost, however, there are indications of connections to organized crime. A spokesman for the authorities was unable to confirm this information, stating that further details of the incident could not be disclosed for investigative reasons. The official language of the authority was that all directions are currently being explored. In addition to the officers of the Criminal Investigation Department and forensic experts, a heavily armed group of officials was on site immediately after the crime to seal off the scene and secure the work of their colleagues. The course of the investigation was described by the police as, quote, extremely difficult. The first problems were encountered with the attempt to clarify the victim's identity. The investigators did not receive any concrete information on the ID of the unknown shooter or shooters and the motive for the crime. This was apparently also due to the fact that the victim was approachable despite injuries, but showed himself to be, quote, not particularly cooperative in an initial interview. The injured person is reported to be a registered German with a migration background from Mitte. In their work on the ground, investigators were apparently confronted with contradictory testimonies. Passersby are said to have reported about a dispute preceding the shots, while others claim to have noticed that there was no dispute, but that the 32-year-old was shot deliberately. When searching for the shooter, police did not rule out that he fled the scene of the crime by U-Bahn. Therefore, surveillance videos of the surrounding underground stations will now also be reviewed. The area around Cottbusser Tor has long been regarded as the focus of crime in Berlin, particularly the drug trade. Reports also note that territorial disputes of different gangs and clans are often carried out with force and firearms in the area. Just a few weeks ago, a 24-year-old man was convicted of murder after a fatal shot was fired at Cottbusser Tor. And at the end of 2018, there was a mass brawl among hostile drug dealers in the same area. A Flixbus accident on the A9 near Bad Dürrenberg on the border between Saxony-Anhalt and Saxony near Leipzig resulted in one dead and nine seriously injured persons, and the search for the cause of the accident is still in progress. The highway police said on Sunday evening that they assumed after their first investigations that the driver's so-called Sekundenschlaf, or microsleep, had led to the accident. A police spokeswoman did not want to confirm this suspicion on Monday morning. There were 75 people on board the bus from Berlin to Munich, and it's reported that everyone on board was hurt. The accident involved 56 ambulances, 8 rescue helicopters, and numerous firefighters and police officers. The injured were distributed among a total of 14 hospitals, mainly in Saxony-Anhalt and Saxony. Flixbus set up a hotline for relatives on Sunday evening and stated, quote, on behalf of Flixbus, our sympathies go out to the affected passengers, bus drivers, and their families and friends. The A9 was reopened on Monday after a closure lasting almost 12 hours. A new arrival center for refugees on the site of the former Karl Bonhoeffer Psychiatric Clinic in the Reinickendorf district of Wittenau will replace the controversial hangars at the former Tempelhof Airport. On Friday, Social Senator Elke Breitenbach of the Left and Reinickendorf's Social Counselor Uwe Brockhausen of the SPD extended an invitation to an open house. Interested residents could see where new refugees arriving in Berlin will spend their first 3 to 5 days until they are registered. The hangars had been criticized by refugee initiatives as inhumane. There was no privacy. Residents lived in the giant halls between partition walls without a roof, and the sanitary facilities were inadequate. In addition, although the former hangars were only supposed to serve as a residence for a few days, the practice was different. Due to bottlenecks with the authorities, registration was delayed and people had to live there for weeks or months. At the end of last year, the Senate had begun to look for alternatives. After a temporary solution in the Schmidt-Knobelsdorf barracks in Spandau, where living conditions were also poor, the former clinic buildings were converted into an arrival center, where there are 500 places with 130 already occupied. These houses are also a temporary solution, however, as the buildings on the hospital site are to be demolished and made way for large-scale housing construction. A new building is to be erected for the arrival center next winter. Monika Hebenhaus from the State Office for Refugee Affairs describes the new arrival center to the TUDs as, quote, a lesson from the refugee crisis of 2015. We have seen that we must have the entire registration and primary medical care under one roof, which is more complex than before. The center also offers asylum procedure counseling offered by the Workers' Welfare Association, which is reported to be necessary as asylum procedures are often very quick and refugees do not have time to seek advice from external lawyers. Among the Wittenau neighbors who came to the open house, some expressed general frustration about the immigration of refugees. One could hear, for example, the opinion that, quote, half of Africa was on its way to Germany, and that this had to be stopped. A woman accused the social senator to great applause, stating, quote, we would have liked to have been asked before the Senate decided on the arrival center here. Breitenbach, on the other hand, stated, quote, I will not talk about one thing, whether we build refugee shelters or not. We are building refugee shelters to shelter people in need, to which she also received much applause. Despite the critical voices, it's reported that the Wittenau residents' mood towards refugees has visibly normalized compared to 2013, when the first hostels for refugees were opened in the district. At that time, a civic assembly had escalated into a racist scandal. Local residents had neatly recorded, quote, harassment, for example, when refugee children played on neighboring playgrounds, or adult refugees asked them for directions in the street. When children fell ill with chickenpox in a refugee shelter, this also served to create a racist atmosphere. Leaflets warned of the, quote, danger of epidemics caused by the dormitory. After the civil protests, the district office placed two police officers in front of the shelter to prevent residents from leaving. Reinickendorf's social counselor, Uwe Brockhausen of the SPD, explained the changed mood to the TUDs by saying that many of the fears of the residents had not materialized. But also, with the good public relations work of the district, one reacts, quote, as quickly as possible to citizen suggestions. Water, castles, and lots of nature. That's what the 100-kilometer Mammut March, or Mammoth March, offers in 24 hours. If you are looking for such a challenge, you'll have the opportunity to join the march in Berlin on Saturday, May 25th. Founder Bastian Kronert-Ferron stated that the idea was born a few years ago, and together with his friend, they set out to hike 100 kilometers in 24 hours. Inspired by this, they organized the first Mammoth March in Berlin. The event developed quickly from 17 participants at the beginning to thousands all over Germany and Austria. In addition to Berlin, marches will also take place in Munich, Hamburg, Vienna, and other locations. According to initiators, the success lies in the trend for health and movement, and they added that the Mammoth March should be an inspiration to change one's life positively. The route promises to show the most beautiful and interesting sides of the region, starting at the Steffi Graf Stadium in Grunewald, onto the eastern bank of the Havel to Potsdam, then in a southerly direction along the Havel-Hohenwanderweg around the Berliner Wannsee, and then on to a section of the Berlin Wall Trail to Potsdam. There, the route leads back along the Sanssouci Park through the heath and pond landscapes, continuing through the Dobritzer Heidelandschaft, and then finally back through the Grunewald to the Steffi Graf Stadion. Cronut Farron reports from his own experiences, quote, "It's not about who's fastest. It's about making the 100 kilometers. It's about testing your limits, and you just can't give up." The Mammut March starts on May 25th at 3:30 p.m., and weatherproof clothing, hiking boots, mobile phone, headlamp, and water should be brought along. Participation fees are between 55 and 75 euros. To stay updated on local Berlin news every weekday, subscribe to our podcast by visiting berlinbriefing.de, hear us on Spotify and bearradio.org, follow us on social media, or enable our Alexa skill. Berlin Briefing will be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening.